Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just choning on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Bit Season, episode 12. A very special happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
And I'm A-Wad.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
I didn't know if we were going to do a Thanksgiving show.
Well, we teased it last week on the show, so I thought it was fair and the right thing to do to follow through.
Yes.
Even though earlier in the week, we weren't really feeling it.
I just want the listeners to know that on Monday, I was asking about Bit Season and trying to come up with what time we're going to do it, topics and stuff like that. And Drab was the first one to go, I don't know if there's going to be an episode this week.
I shouldn't say we weren't really feeling it. The workload setting up for a 3-day work week is extreme for us. And so we have to prep through an entire weekend of programming.
They don't understand that we got to do a best of, we got to take care of Richmond, and there's a lot of spinning plates.
I got 1,000 play-by-play games to schedule this weekend for the air. So there's a lot going on, but I do think that...
That's called your job.
Yeah, I know. That's my job. So I didn't know if I had time for the skits and bits known as Bit Season.
This is your job, too.
It's not paying me right now.
But you did send me a text last night. Please come in tomorrow morning.
You texted me. Said, are we doing a show? And I think my response was yes.
No, you said, please, we need you.
Is that what I said? I don't remember.
You might want to check that.
I don't remember saying that. I might have to verify that later. Anyways, thanks for tuning in, guys. We love doing this show. And of course, we weren't going to send you into the 5-day weekend without a...
I know. People would start forgetting about Bit
4-day
season.
Weekend.
They would forget about Bit Season if we didn't do an episode today.
They kind of already are.
And you know what? If you're a biddy and if you're a Bit Season fanatic... And you got to go around the table and say what you're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
Say you're thankful for Bit Season. That would make my day.
I like that. And I'm also enjoying the callers that are calling into the junkies and dropping Bit Season shtick or just saying Bit Season and punching out.
That does make me laugh.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And we can't always reply on air, but you know,
this is what I want. This would make my holiday. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Someone sets up a hidden camera. All right, on the armoire or on the china closet, and then it's grace time, and the family's all there, and Pops is wearing some button-up shirt that he hasn't worn in 10 years,
mm-hmm.
All right? Okay. And you just got done arguing about politics or asking why you don't have a girlfriend or boyfriend, and you're saying grace and what you're thankful for, and you just comes around to you, and you go, I'm thankful for Bit Season. And see what their reaction is.
Send us the video.
Yes, please send us the video.
And play the theme song.
Yeah. I can just say, what a time to be alive.
Right. That's the best tweets we get. What a time to be alive.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I hope everyone has a very special weekend. If you're listening to this before Thursday, have a great Thanksgiving. But we got a lot to get to. It was a short week, but I thought it was a week of fireworks. It was a lot of fun this
People
week.
People get loosey, the junks get loosey goosey. When it's a short work week, they really do.
And I think it helped a lot that there wasn't, that it was
a big tall lurch trying to jam.
No, it was Victory Monday. Made them happy, I think, right?
Well, Victory Monday, Monday's always taken with the NFL.
Yes.
Throw that out the window.
What the thing was about it is that there wasn't a big tall lurch trying to jam the egg bowl down your throat.
That is true.
College football playoffs.
Yes.
I mean, if you listen to Wednesday's show, it was like 70% non-sports.
Right.
We would kill for that on a daily basis, but we can't do that all the time.
No, that's basically Christmas in November.
Even the sports segments got us fired up on Bit Season, and maybe we could start there because we are on Wednesday recording here. And earlier today during the Dave Richards segment, EB referenced me waving my arms and throwing a fit in the other room.
Yeah, you're throwing equipment around in there. Well, breaking stuff?
I don't know. I think that's a bit extreme. But I definitely threw my hands up in the air when I walked back in their room. And I once again heard, and we asked EB to stick around today, but he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, it's the least shocking thing.
I walked back into the room and I heard EB asking Pastor Jacques about his family and just bumming everyone out for the 100th time. And I can't take it anymore, Valdez.
Now, you can't take getting depressed over the story, or you can't take the same Pastor Jacques story.
Both. Here's what I figured out.
All right.
Okay. And I'm not trying to be insensitive. Pastor Jacques likes the questions about his family that are awful to hear. Right.
That's a very weird theory.
I think he likes people asking him about a sick family. Because then he's the hero.
Well, he is.
He's already a pastor. He's like the good guy, the pat on the back. What an incredible man. But I mean, EB says every
My guess is that everyone does that to Pastor Jacques, though. So,
but not everyone's got in a public pulpit that we got here.
A public forum.
Right.
I think it's just Eric is so clueless about anything non-Redskins that he punches out, and that's his crutch.
I accuse, and Eric, after the show in the urinal, we were peeing next to each other. Uh-huh. He said, I want to tell you something. That's not my crutch. I'm generally interested in Pastor Jacques. And I said, no
it's not. Eric has told us he finds fantasy football stupid.
Yeah, and I said, Eric, it is your crutch because you don't know what else to say. So you always say, our guy, Pastor Jacques, every single
no,
time.
No, no, you know what Eric's crutch was during the Dave Richards segment before our guy, Pastor Jacques?
Yeah, what?
Who's the hot guy to pick up this week?
First of all, Pastor Jacques is very nice.
Yeah, he's a very
nice
guy.
I don't think we've met him personally, and I do admire what he's doing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he's not our guy. He's EB's guy. The rest of us don't really care about him.
I mean, that's true.
Than Eddie from Centerville or anybody else, Mark from Largo, that calls in all the time.
Hearing the story was nice the first time.
It was. He's asking Pastor Jacques
if his kids are dead yet.
Yeah,
basically.
Every other week. And I said, EB, I know you don't care about him. I said, tell me one thing about his family. You've asked him 100 questions about his family. Tell me one thing you know about his family. What conditions do his kids have? How many kids does he have? What are their names?
Where is he from?
Yeah.
What town did his house burn down?
He couldn't tell. The only thing he knows is he's from Jacques from Bristow. Okay? I don't even know that. He couldn't tell me anything about his family because he's not even listening to him.
Right. He's just eating up the Dave Richard segment.
He's just eating up time because it's a fallback for
him.
Right. And we all know, we've heard the stories before. Like, it's a very admirable thing he's done. He adopts sick children from all over the world, people that kids that other people have kicked to the curb that wouldn't.
He's a million times the man that will ever be.
Of course. We know the story. We don't have to live it every Thursday at 8:01 a.m.
I don't want to feel bad about myself. I just want to know who to start and who to sit.
But Drab, don't you sometimes just need to take a step back and say, EB has radio instincts. Maybe he's right.
So does Drab.
So do I. Yeah. And so does Valdez. Yeah. And when our powers combined is greater than EB's.
We make a super junkie.
Yeah. You know what? We are a super junkie.
Yeah, my brains and Drab's looks and my muscles, we create the perfect super junkie.
Cart that up.
I had to throw him in there.
I appreciate it. I'll take the looks. Yeah. I agree.
And Adam's eczema. That's the perfect super junkie.
Yeah.
But you know, I've noticed this week, there has been a lot of depression junkies. A lot of depression.
What's to be depressed about?
No, depression callers. Because you remember,
I'll take the L on that one. That was my fault.
On Tuesday, the guy called about his wife dying of cancer on the last segment when we're trying to talk about how fat Cody Betts is.
That was poor for phone screening on my part. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, that's why you need me to be the super junkie.
Usually, I'm pretty good at it. I can weed out. We have bad callers. Don't get me wrong. You wouldn't believe the terrible callers that are just calling nonstop, that just either the most uninteresting people.
I like when Drab gets in a fight with them.
Sometimes I do, and it's unprofessional. And if I've yelled at you on the phone before, I apologize if you are listening.
Well, it is funny, mainly because Drab needs to be entertained, so he makes his own argument.
Oh, yeah, we learned that a few weeks ago with me waving to the lady at the hospital. I haven't heard from her in a few weeks. I hope she's still alive because she had COVID. I will snap sometimes. Like if you're rude to me and or if you just like expect to be put on the air and you're kind of rude about it, or the thing, if you really want to tilt the rap and I ask you to take me off Bluetooth and you say, well, I can't, I'm driving.
We don't have to put you on the air.
We don't need you.
Why do callers think that?
We don't need you.
We don't need to fill up airtime with your voice. There's four guys in the room. We don't need to take a single call.
Weed out a lot of calls because I'm not a fan of just taking phone call after phone call.
You know how the Junks did like their record? Oh, we're going to do 100 phone calls today.
Yeah.
We should do the opposite. We're going to take zero phone calls for a week.
We actually hardly took any phone outside of Washington football stuff. We didn't do a lot of phone calls this week. And even the Washington football stuff after Monday was kind
of
dry.
Speaking of the depressing callers, what did you think of giving the guy whose wife died of cancer a copy of Still Barking? That was kind of weird, wasn't it? That
JP slid in there. I'm pretty sure he slid in. He can buy a book at the end. And I was like, whoa. First of all, why? Howard Stern was giving that book out to everybody.
Howard Stern comes again.
Right? When he had his interview book.
Yes.
Because I hadn't listened to Howard that many times. I've only listened the last couple of years. And even now, I'm not listening anymore. But I remember every caller that was like a decent caller, he was giving that book out.
Or was overly complimenting the show and stuff like that.
Yeah. Why isn't JP doing that? Why is he so stingy on giving out a couple free copies?
I don't know.
I don't think we're going to get a free copy anymore. I've been thinking about it. My mom was asking.
I better get a free copy.
We should definitely get a free copy. In fact, I'm going to require that to go to the P1 party.
Yes, I'm actually going to two signings. I think I'm scheduling myself to two signings of JP's.
Are you coming to the Pamplona one?
What day is that? He gave me a list of the dates.
It's like Saturday, December 11th, maybe or something.
No, because that's the golden ticket party. Maybe I don't know. I gotta go to stillbarking.com and look at the dates.
It was bad phone screening when I put the guy through on Tuesday who said, he just told me, he said, hey, I love the Junks. And he said, my wife has cancer. I thought he said, my wife has cancer and the Junks have lifted me up this past year. I didn't hear the had. Yes. That she had passed away. And then it was, and then a big John called in today, speaking of terrible callers. And
why does Big John just get through like that?
Because you know why he got through today?
Why?
Because it's the day before Thanksgiving, the guys were loosey-goosey, and I knew EB would be as mean as possible to him, and I was hoping he would be. If he calls in on like a regular Wednesday, chances are I may not put him on. He calls all the time, you know, but I knew today was a good day for pot shots, especially with a big feast tomorrow.
that's a layup for the guys, right?
Right.
So many butterball turkey zings.
They actually missed out on a lot of zings for him.
I actually remember meeting Big John. He is that big.
Where did you meet him at Borgata or something?
No, I think I met him at like the Fan Live or something like that.
He's a nice guy, and I love the fact that he can take it.
Yeah, no,
he's a good punching bag.
He was
nice,
really cool,
soft,
listener.
Doughy punching bag.
So the callers are depressed. They're feeling down. But what about EB? Okay. Earlier in the week, this was the most jarring thing I was just like stunned by. He talked about seeing Chepe, and Chepe, if you don't know who he is the host on El Zol, Spanish station here, and how EB is suspicious of happy people, and he's suspicious of Chepe because he's always smiling, and he called Chepe a dark person.
Now, is this just a Chepe thing,
or do you think he's suspicious of every single
happy person?
Like Dick Vitale, EB's suspicious of him because he's always happy, super positive. Now, he didn't say that specifically about Dick Vitale, but he's a
prime candidate.
He's a prime candidate.
To be suspicious.
The big fake phony is what EB calls
him. Why does he think everyone's phony
if
they're happy?
I can't figure that out.
I actually think there's some truth to it because I've dealt with people before that are super nice people, you know, smiling right to your face. And if you tick them off, you know, they'll come screaming at you.
Who did what? That? A former boss of yours?
No, like friends that I've had. Like, we're all of a sudden, and then they flip out at you.
Okay, that doesn't mean they're a dark person.
A dark person means that they're
like some real demons.
Yeah, that they're in their room sobbing, listening to a depressing Smiths and Cure music.
You know, right. If you have
contemplating their life.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have anger management, that counts as a dark person. Like, I'm talking
but you
about,
you would
like,
know that. Yes. You would know that. Like, you, Chepe doesn't have anger management, anger issues, because he's always happy. EB thinks that Chepe has some, like, real psychological issues where he's going home and he's, like, suicidal.
Right.
Or he's just, like, you know, got some deep, deep, dark secrets about terrible things that he's done that he's covering up for.
Or it's crippling depression where, like, he goes into bed and won't get out until the next morning.
Right. Not, that's what he thinks of happy people.
Not like he got so mad he punched a wall.
Which I don't think Chepe would do that either. And it, just think of, like, the most positive person you can think of. That's Chepe. Always laughing. And it's not like a fake radio bed. Like, he's super nice, off the air, and just super positive.
I would actually say Cakes is kind of like that. Now, he may not have the most conversation with you in terms of
Cakes,
meaningful
very
conversation,
happy person,
but Cakes is a very happy-go-lucky person.
He never comes in here.
You know
really
what it's like. Cakes realizes Cakes lived the Toys R Us life before this, and I think he will always have that mindset in his head about how lucky he got, and he'll always be happy that the junks picked him up on that gravy train.
You know, that's a great point, Valdez, that
Cakes has perspective.
Cakes is the one junkie who actually, I think, appreciates how lucky he is.
I would 100% agree.
The other three guys complain about, you know, think they're underpaid, and they make a ton of money and not getting enough free stuff.
We got to shake them down for a bonus every Christmas.
JP thinks that if he got, you know, fired from this job, he'd be a trial attorney tomorrow. You know, Jason, you know, nothing's ever bad has happened to him. He's, you know, been lucky since he's been 22 years old.
I've never seen Jason complains about how unlucky he is with every single bet he makes, but doesn't realize he used up all of life's luck at the age of 23 to be
where
he is.
You know what actually wrecks me, speaking of that, is when the junkies say they came in at the back end of the golden era. Okay? These guys have been making so much money for so long, and for them just to say they missed out on the golden era, like, just wrecks the hell out of me.
They overlapped the golden era.
They did, and they haven't. If they've taken pay cut, and I don't really know exactly how much they make. I could ballpark it pretty close, but... And not that it's even that important, but they live very comfortable lives, even for people in Washington D.C. who make good money.
Right,
right. They're not like the other radio guys. Like,
yeah, where they're going from Wichita to Sheboygan.
They're the top 0.01% of 1%ers in radio. You know
totally
what I mean?
Agree.
Yeah, like, they didn't miss the golden era. They are the golden boys.
They're the last of the dying breed.
They really are. So, Cakes definitely is perspective
yes,
of the junkies.
That's what Cakes has that I don't think the rest of the guys have, is perspective.
Now, this is EB's going to come in on Monday and say, I got three or four facts wrong and I'm clueless.
I was faking the statistics in some adult hospice home.
You have no idea how appreciative I am.
Right. He's just going to, I was entertaining people. It's an on-air persona.
But that's the thing is, actually, Cakes gave up the most to do this. Cakes took the most risk. Do you know, you remember that?
What JP thinks that he gave up the most.
Oh, no. Cakes gave up the most. Cakes had I get it. Toys R Us is a laughable job.
But Cakes could do that retail job at any point.
I know, but Cakes gave up his 401k. Remember that?
Who cares when you're 23?
Oh, I'm just saying. Cakes had to give up a chunk of money to do this. Cakes had a stable job.
But EB had a job at the old person's home, right?
I don't think that was as stable as Cakes is.
I think we're overvaluing Cakes' Toys R Us job, to be honest with you. Those guys last 6 months, and then they're on to the next retail establishment.
Hadn't he worked himself up with promotions to, like, a manager level?
Yeah, he was a manager.
Valdez has a point here.
Thank you.
Nobody works at Toys R Us for 40 years, okay?
But I'm just saying that he could have became a manager at Target or a grocery store manager. Grocery store managers is a decent job.
That job was always there. Like, Cakes could probably retire as a junkie and be working as a manager at DSW next week.
Right? Greeter at Giant.
He didn't miss out on that. It's always there. JP, I think, would be the hardest to get back into. Lurch had nothing going on.
Yeah.
EB, I'm not quite sure. He faked his master's degree.
Yeah. Didn't Lurch say he was a courier? I have no idea what he would do. I just know that if
Lurch would be in sales.
Jason would find some rich friend and he would get hired by him.
I bet he could work in sales and make a good living right now just off of his connections. Like he could just move over to the sales pitch.
Sure, yeah,
of course.
He could. Not you think Jason's going to sell radio commercials?
Are you dumb?
You don't think he could?
No. He's going to go sell like medical equipment in Ashburn and make like $500,000 a year doing that.
That'd be silly.
He'll be like,
he'll be the steampunk sales rep.
You think he's going to sell commercials?
I know.
Radio commercials?
I think
he grind
could.
That out? No. No, no. He's hoity-toity. The radio is the bottom of sales.
Yeah. Speaking of which, if you want to sponsor Bitsy's, let us know. Our DMs at Bitsy's, and we'll get you connected with Jackie from sales.
Adam, you got a lot to learn about these guys. Jason definitely not going to grind out a radio sales career. Hey, I do want
Jason's used to the 4-hour workday.
Hey, yeah. Will you update Valdez on what's going on Bumble for you? I'm actually a little bit intrigued by it. We don't want to spend too much time on you because we gave you plenty of airtime last week.
Last week was an AWOD show, but I do want to hear this update.
And it kind of overlaps with the junkies and the entertainment page a little bit.
So a few months ago, you guys were joning on me because my Bumble profile was out of date. And the biggest line that I was getting joned on for was I said, I'm a huge fan of Larry David. Right. Actually, avid fan of Larry David. I'm a big fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Okay. Everyone was joning on me trying to say nobody's heard of Larry David.
Worst profile I ever.
What 24-year-old silly goes, ooh, Larry David, let me swipe here.
Yeah, I mean, guys like Larry David.
I mean, everyone should like Seinfeld and Curb. But anyway, so I changed it from avid fan of Larry David to avid fan of Pete Davidson. He's the hottest thing out right now. And my DMs have been blowing up with people asking me if I watched SNL this weekend. What do I like about Pete Davidson? Can I believe he's with Kim K?
So ever since he's been dating Kim.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can imagine that.
The DMs are increasing because he's now on the front page again of the New York Post every day dating one of the most famous celebrities in the world, probably maybe the most famous.
Right. And because I drop his name in my profile, I'm A-list all of a sudden. Everyone wants to know
every
about
DM he's getting. From chicks is about Pete Davidson.
He's glommed on to Pete Davidson's 15 minutes of fame.
Yes.
I've wrote it to the top.
And I saw the Bumble DMs. He is getting quite a few.
Now, you've seen his DMs pre-Pete Davidson and post-Pete Davidson. What would you... Obviously, the quantity is up. How is the quality?
There's a very cute girl that is interested that he asked out this weekend, and he invited her to Pamplona, I think. She has not responded. But he says that's not a big deal because he just invited her last night. But they do have a somewhat witty conversation by Adam. He's actually doing a pretty good job, and the girl's cute.
Where is she from? Is she in the Arlington area?
Yep, she's in the Arlington area. She's 30. A little more mature for me.
You know, I'm actually proud of you, the fact that he's into a 30-year-old. Now, AWOD has the emotional maturity of a 16-year-old, but the fact that he's not limiting himself to only 24-year-old fresh out of college girls, I'm proud of you.
Well, here's what's interesting is that there's a single guy here at the office who informed Adam that tonight is the night. Tonight is the Super Bowl for single ladies.
That's true.
The day before Thanksgiving, these girls are probably from out of town, like they live in New York or Pittsburgh, and they're back visiting Pittsburgh.
Find a Pittsburgh silly.
I don't know why I said that.
Find a silly Yinzer.
I think
Yinzer.
I meant Philadelphia.
Awesome Yinzer.
They got real finance jobs or jobs in the big city, and they're back down visiting their family for the weekend, and they're single and horny, and then looking for a hookup. And tonight, Valdez and I have often thought highly of the day before Thanksgiving. It's a big drinking night.
It's the Super Bowl for alcoholics.
For the high school reunions, you go to the dive bar, you see everyone go,
hey, there's Jim. Hey, remember when you used to date Susie Q?
Adam, you went to Lorton High School, right?
South County.
South County. Is there a local spot out there like in Woodbridge or whatever that is?
No,
Woodbridge would be hot right now.
Yeah,
I guarantee you most of my high school will be out in Clarendon. Because every year, this is I've ran into people.
You're 30 years old. You're from Lorton. No, they're not in Clarendon. Maybe one or two of them.
No, most of them come to Clarendon. They go to PJ Skidoo's in Fairfax.
That's the spot.
That's it.
PJ Skidoo's.
Yes. Not Clarendon. That's for 19-year-old chicks with fake IDs. Go to PJ Skidoo's.
I'm guaranteeing if you go to PJ Skidoo's, you'll pull at least a number.
You know, he's going to see girls from his high school.
Of course.
That's the spot. Tonight is the night.
Tonight's definitely the night.
Tonight's the night.
Super Bowl.
All right, what are some other places in the area that people would frequent or flock to? What are some other local bars?
People used to go to Hard Times Cafe.
Yeah, Hard Times.
That's
in
a
Fairfax.
Great one.
Yeah.
I think Fat Tuesdays was another one, right by University Mall.
I missed that Hard Times Cafe in Fairfax in the courthouse building.
I remember that.
That is a silly restaurant.
Red Hot and Blue.
that Fat Tuesdays kind of intrigues me.
Where's Fat Tuesday?
He said it's in Fairfax, but it's around Mason.
Yeah,
it's close to Mason. So I think he could also pull some sort of college reunion buns too.
What about that Carlos O'Brien's? Is that still around? Wasn't that a place right by GMU?
I've never heard of that.
It was definitely there for a long time.
Oh, Brian's Grill?
It's not Brian's Grill, but that changed to something else too. No, there was a place called Carlos O'Brien's because I remember it's the weirdest name ever. Like, is it a Mexican place or Irish place?
The Irish Mexican place.
It was right by the radio station.
Probably silly food.
It was like right by the one of those Nubs car dealerships. Oh. It's not important, but it was a popping spot back in the day. So you were going to go to Fairfax. That is a brilliant play.
That's a great play. You got to stay in the suburbs.
Not too fancy, not too low life.
You realize all people want to do is they just want to go out for a couple drinks and rekindle their friendships and see people that they haven't seen in a while.
I'd be butt-sized to go to my hometown bar tonight. Wouldn't you? Be kind of sized to go to some dive in Pasadena.
There's a lot of those.
Where does everyone meet up in Pasadena on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, there's definitely a Glory Days. That's kind of nice. That's kind of in the Glen Burnie area. Mm-hmm. But there's a new bar that popped up next to my parents. This place is called Tucker's.
Oh, Tucker's.
Yeah. I want you to Google Tucker's Pasadena. All right.
Is it from the field goal kicker?
No, it's not. It's where Willie D's Lounge used to be, right on like Fort Smallwood. This place offers free Uber rides to everyone who comes. They give you a free shot when you show up, and kids get kicked out at 6 o'clock.
It's not Willie D's.
It's like a restaurant.
No, it's not a restaurant.
If they're kicking kids out,
they have food trucks there that serve people. Okay. So they don't actually make their own food. And by the way, the Uber that they call for you is literally Jim from down the street that will give you a ride. The neighbor. It's not a real Uber.
It's a fake Uber.
It's a fake Uber.
He's gonna club you over the head and.
No, they call their friend Jim to come give you a ride because you're too drunk.
Hey, I like that. That's intriguing. So, Adam, you're going to have to follow through for us. One of these times, just follow through and date, go out for drinks outside of Clarendon.
And was it? There's the Irish bar next door. That's another one in the Dina that you could go to.
All right, maybe you can take me there one of these times.
We should do a live broadcast. Coconut Charlie's was the place, but that burned down.
Coconut Charlie's?
Yes.
Is that right there on the point or whatever you call it?
No, that's called the point. And that's not it.
Hey, you know where I've been that has some hot girls near you? Is in One Loud in Bar Louie.
Bar Louie, I think, closed down in One Loud.
Oh, really?
Maybe not. I don't know. It's too fancy for you. Stop going to fancy.
I know. No. There was a lot of college girls there. Like right after
I know Bar Louie. It's too expensive for you. The girls there are too attractive for you. All right? there's guys. The guys who go to Bar Louie are guys who live in Ashburn who make $400,000 a year. Ooh.
Twain's Tavern. Now you got me at my mind going. Twain's Tavern.
All right. Awesome. That sounds like something where the old Harkins from Pasadena High, Chesapeake High, go to.
Pasadena High. But Bamboo, it was previously Bamboo Bernie's. And before that, the Wooden Nickel.
All right, so they just turned. They just turned this place.
This place is a money pit. All right, it'll be something new next year. But Twain's Tavern would be the perfect spot to go to.
All right.
It's a big inside area, dingy, poorly lit sports bar area.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Thanksgiving, I think that the most fiery debate on the show this week was John Paul Flame talking about going to the Boston Market and picking up his Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes, it was.
There was almost a fight over it.
Yeah, EB called it "quote soulless."
No. Which he called JP a soulless ghoul, which just makes me laugh.
that's a funny way to describe it. But I kind of agree with Eric. Is that the whole point of Thanksgiving is to put your spin on a classic dish and provide food and sustenance for your friends and family.
I think there's a deep psychological dive you could go into about why JP is picking up Thanksgiving dinner from Boston Market and trying to sell it to the rest of us.
JP views Thanksgiving dinner as like a problem / inconvenience that you can throw money at that would solve the problem.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
And that's not Thanksgiving. It's a time consuming preparation type deal. And that's not really, that's not JP. Think about it. JP comes in 5 minutes before the show starts. Right.
He's not a planner.
Well, I think JP's kind of a planner when it comes to certain things, but deep down, I wouldn't say he's a planner.
He likes to take shortcuts.
But I don't understand. He always talks about, he's definitely a planner. I don't know why I said that, but he always talks about the family gatherings of him and his mom, and the neighbors would all come over and he would sing and dance. He honored his mother at her passing by having people over at her house and having this big get together and food and everything like that.
Well, okay. So
why the king of family holidays is a speed bump to him watching football games on TV? Like, why? And then first and second of all, him trying to sell us, this is the most tilting part, on Boston Market.
Like being better or just as good as a home-cooked meal.
He said, I bet you I could bring him Boston Market and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Yes, I could.
Okay. That slimy turkey.
That's such slander.
Right.
Yeah, that slippery skin.
Yeah.
They do have good mac and cheese.
First of all, I've never been to Boston
Market. I grew up on Boston Market. We would go like once a week.
Hey, oh, that's
Exhibit
at least,
A.
That's really shocking.
We'd get a full chicken and a bunch of sides. And my dad... And
but it's
bring
fast
home.
Food.
Yeah.
It's a step above fast food. It's classy fast food.
It's not classy fast food,
is it? Oh, it's definitely classy
it?
Fast food. Yeah. I mean, you're getting like chicken or turkey and you're getting like mashed potatoes or green beans. It's healthier.
I told Valdez, I said, what's next? Is he going to go to McDonald's for his
Memorial Day barbecue?
Cookout? That's the same thing
to me. I
think
that's just as... Boston Market, now, if you're going there to get the main dish, that's wrong. But if you're going there for the sides, that's not even like as bad as going to get butter from Longhorns.
Okay. Well, that's actually a fair point by you.
No. I would actually say
I'm picking up one thing, and I'm not picking up the entire meal from Texas Roadhouse.
Right. No,
that would be kind of nuts.
Boston Market just for green beans and macaroni. That's different.
Also, I'm not the patriarch of the dinner. Right, like JP is hosting the dinner for his entire family. He had to talk about his brother coming over all the way down from New Jersey or something like that, and they're getting Boston Market.
I'm driving four hours for Boston Market.
I'm stopping by my in-laws' house, and I'm going to bring some dinner rolls and a pumpkin cheesecake cinnamon pie we're going to get to here in a few minutes.
But I would actually say it's worse because the sides are the easiest thing to make in Thanksgiving. The hardest part is the turkey.
But if you're the host, I'm talking about like he's the host of it, and that's what he's serving his family.
Do you know what it reminds
me of?
Might as
well go to Denny's.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Mrs. Doubtfire. When Mrs. Doubtfire couldn't cook dinner, you know what? He paid Robin Williams paid $100 for some chef's
the takeout.
The chef's takeout that he put on a plate and passed off as his own.
And she loved it. Yeah, it was brilliant. But that is make-believe, and it's a movie, and it wasn't Thanksgiving that he did that.
No, it was just
a regular night, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's different. Somebody needs to cook the turkey. Like somebody needs to spend the
There day, needs to be cooking.
Right? Yeah.
It has to be cooking. There has to be bonding around the kitchen table of everyone eating appetizers throughout the day, everyone pitching in and helping stuff. And those two guys going over to their family's houses and sitting on the couch all day is kind of tilting.
By the way, if you're host, how hard is it to watch a YouTube video on how to make a turkey, how to make green bean casserole, how to do mashed potatoes? It's not that hard.
He should have gone to Boston Market as a backup and cooked a regular turkey. And if it was really bad, then you eat the Boston Market.
All right, let's continue on this deep dive into JP.
That's actually a great idea by Adam. By
what
the
is
way.
It? All right.
Just I understand we don't really listen, but get the Boston Market.
Yeah.
All right. But intend to make all the stuff, and whatever stuff you make sucks, just swap it out with the Boston Market. So that way you can at least try to do something and make something and have it taste good.
It's gonna taste good, but you can tell that it's not home cooked meal. Like
I know that. I'm just saying, try the home cooked meal, and if your home cooked meal sucks. Or the turkey that you make completely sucks.
Well, then you say, all right, let's go to Boston Market. Like, I burnt the turkey. Yeah. Let's go head on to Boston Market.
The mashed potatoes taste like crap, but I got a whole container of it from Boston Market. We'll just use that.
Yeah. Right. Pre-pick up the Boston Market, have it in the fridge as a backup.
Now, I will say this, and this is one of the best Christmas dinners I've ever had.
All right.
I went to a Chinese restaurant like 5 years ago.
Now you're speaking my language.
Like, right? That's like a Christmas story. I'm
it sorry. Wasn't like, okay, but
the head of the duck.
That's a Jewish Christmas.
It is a Jewish Christmas. And I don't know if this was maybe longer than 5 years ago, closer to 10 years ago. It was just my wife and I, now my now wife. And we already did the Christmas Eve dinner at the in-laws the night before. So it's Christmas Day. Everything's closed except for Chinese restaurants. I didn't really think, like, I actually, my frame of reference for it was
a Christmas story.
Christmas story. Like, I thought we'd be, like, one of the only people in there. No.
Oh.
Dude, this thing was
hopping.
It was a celebration. Let me tell you about it.
It's the most tilting thing every freaking year. It should be Jews all around the place, but it's Christians left and right because they're lazy and they don't want to cook a meal. So they go back to the Chinese restaurant, and you know what? It's so tilting when a Jewish person has to have a reservation or sit in line. This is our holiday to be at the Chinese food.
You actually have a good point. I bet you about 20 years ago, it was mostly Jewish families hanging out there, and that was just something. But eating out and people not cooking like JP has become the norm that we've infiltrated the Chinese restaurants on Christmas.
I'll tell you, it's the exact same thing about movie theaters. It pisses me off, too. Stay home with your family on Christmas. Stop going out and ruining the Jewish holiday.
Dude, that place was slammed. A line out the door, people hooting and hollering, drunk off their ass. White people, black people, Asians, everybody coming together at Christmas. I didn't see one Jewish person there.
I like the fact that Jewish people just walk around like it's any other day on December 25th. Yeah. December 25th is like a regular old Tuesday.
It's a regular Saturday one, right?
We get sized. But yeah. I'm telling you, we get tilted when we run into people that are not Jewish because it's like, stay at home.
We did ruin that holiday. Yeah.
Don't you have presents to open?
You know, it's like it's like zombies invaded everything, right? And the whole place is desolate except for Jews running around.
we definitely took that tradition from you guys.
Yeah,
we as in the rest of us Gentiles.
In the last, yes. Like when I was a kid, Chinese restaurants were empty, movie theaters were empty. In the last 15 years, it's become a madhouse. And I
apologize. I actually apologize, but it was an awesome dinner. It was an awesome time. One of my favorite meals I've ever eaten. I just haven't had the opportunity.
You're catching on. It's a Chinese food on
you
Christmas.
You should try
about
these. You should make that.
This isn't like carry-out Chinese food where it's just sauce and fried.
No. It was like
fried meat that you have no idea what it is.
No. Like, big Chinese restaurant.
Like you sit down and you have the service and tea and everything. It's not like
hot
Panda.
Towels.
It's not like Panda Express.
Right, and I think I might be talking stupid here. I just assume they're open because the owners and the people who work there are not Christians, right? Yeah. Right. So they're not celebrating. The Chinese community is not celebrating Christmas. That's why they're open for all these years. It just became a thing.
Well, they know that they could take all the Jewish people's money.
I'm telling
you, they make a fortune.
The line was so long, so loud, so festive.
Cahill, 45-minute wait.
Yeah, exactly. But you should try it sometime. Or if any of you listeners out there are bored on Christmas, try to
well, take the Epstein's reservation.
I know, come on.
yeah, but I'm not a fan of the Boston Market. Mostly, it's just an insult to a chance to have a great meal. I just think of Boston Market food. Again, I've never had it. As just slimy takeout food.
I know.
Mac and cheese.
I said on air that it reminds me of getting a rotisserie chicken.
Yeah. Salty mashed potatoes. Yeah.
The potatoes that you get in a container and you heat up on the stove.
Nothing fresh.
No.
Right.
It's how you make a tradition. I think that's why we're so offended and taken aback by it.
Do you feel any pressure during Thanksgiving? I mean, it's been a couple of years now, but you're newly married. I mean,
No, because we always go to my in-laws.
And so they take care of everything.
They're my Wertheimers. I would go over there. I'll do nothing.
You won't even bring a side.
Now I will. I do the dishes. That's my specialty.
But you won't show up with a side or wine or anything.
No, I'm showing up with a Valdez's pumpkin pie here, and I'm going to get dinner rolls at Texas Roadhouse.
That's sitting in front of us for 50 minutes now.
It smells amazing.
It does smell amazing.
And we'll have to maybe put a picture. Stop pushing it closer to me. Closer, oh, you're pushing in the video.
I'm trying to put it in the video.
A snippet, as Fred Smoot likes to say, on video. This is Valdez's. What would you call this?
I would call that a pumpkin cheesecake with cinnamon roll crust.
Don't get carried away. These are Pillsbury cinnamon rolls, right?
Yeah, they aren't homemade cinnamon rolls. The things that you get out of the grands that you get out of the freezer aisle and Giant.
Does anybody make their own pie crust from scratch anymore?
Yes, people do.
I just assume that everybody buys the Betty Crocker crust.
Well, that's very easy, the instant pie crust. Making pie crust isn't that hard. You just make the dough. You just got to let it sit and everything, and then you use it.
But I want to review this. Does it look, it feels, maybe I'm a little far away. It looks a little dry. Like, do you think it's moist enough?
I think that's his cinnamon topping or whatever is on there.
What do you mean dry? It's a cheesecake. How can a cheesecake be dry?
It just kind of feels like you're going to take one bite and you're going to have 1,000 crumbs on your shirt.
That is completely false.
Here's why I'm a little nervous, Valdez.
Why are you nervous?
First of all, it smells amazing, okay? It's very distracting.
By the way, I couldn't feel like a bigger loser bringing in a big old cheesecake today that no one ate. It kind of hurt my feelings.
No, everybody wants to eat it.
No. No one wanted to eat it till 9 o'clock. Then I just told you, might as well just keep it to 9 o'clock.
Here's what I'm a little bit worried about. All right. I am bringing a dessert that I have not eaten before. I have no idea if it's good. I'm presenting it to not only my in-laws, but some of their friends that are coming over.
All right.
Like, this is a big deal. And if I say, I made this pumpkin cheesecake cinnamon roll pie.
You're going to take credit? You're going to say you made it?
Whatever. I mean, I haven't figured that out yet. And what happens if it's terrible?
Well, possibility.
Exactly. What happens if everyone is talking about how great the meal is, then they eat the dessert and there's a line for the bathroom?
Yeah.
It's like it's like Christmas vacation where Cousin Eddie says, if that turkey tastes half as good as it looks, we're all in for a real treat. And then she cuts it with a knife and it explodes.
Well, why don't you take a little live
review? I can't. I mean, how am I going to take a little?
Take one from the side. You see the side right here?
That's just frosting.
No. The side.
Right, give me the filling. Give me the toothpick thing.
I don't want to touch your fork. Is it concerning to you that I made it? Like, are you worried?
Well,
right here, that side.
Your history preparing food to me is not stellar.
I made one bad nacho plate.
You're 0 for 1. You're 0 for 1.
You haven't made dessert before. That's such a crumb. Take a little
bite. I can't.
He doesn't want to ruin it.
I'm going to ruin the presentation. Whatever this crispy, crunchy stuff on the outside, that looks like brown sugar or something, tastes silly.
It is brown sugar. Does it look unappealing to you with the cinnamon icing on the side?
No. It looks fantastic.
Because it kind of looks like
Everybody knows it's cinnamon icing. Your obsession with dude semen is just out of control.
What about, can we get Adam's review? Can Adam taste it?
You can't taste it.
Hold on. Watch. You just got to get
And then cut a little something for him.
No. Watch. You just get this.
Keep it away from him. I know you're worried about a cake stomp.
Yes, I am worried about cake stomp.
Oh, see? That I wish I got that kind of bite.
No, you're stupid. Why didn't you? He's trying it right now.
It's definitely not dry.
I know. It's a moist cheesecake.
All right, I can wait till
it's
tomorrow.
It's actually flatten delicious.
That out. Flatten that out. I don't want people to think that.
You didn't do anything. Look,
Valdez, also, how much would you sell one for me?
Sell one? I would make one for you for free.
You can buy this.
I could go.
You can buy this for me for $20.
Right now. I would love to bring that to my grandparents.
And say you made it?
Yeah. Look, I'd be the look at that. Talk of the town.
Right? It looks good. I'm going to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to be surprised.
I'll Venmo you right now.
No. I'm going to keep
it. That is tasty.
You could have brought a cover for it. You brought a cake that's uncovered, and I'm supposed to walk to my car
no
with it.
There's no way you're going to make it home, and then it's going to make the 50-minute drive.
Yeah.
I brought the cake in that way.
Did you ever, like, a little Tupperware covering?
How did it sit in your car on the drive-in?
I sat it on the seat.
He walked by a construction site with that thing, uncovered.
Drab's going to be texting and driving, slam on his brakes, and the thing's going to fly into the window.
Half Street is covered in rats. I look like the Pied Piper with all those things eating crumbs behind me.
What was the toughest part of making it? Because it's delicious.
The toughest part? It's just time consuming, that's all. I'm a silly baker.
You listen to
like,
podcasts while you're cooking? You
know what inspired me? Well, no. Number one, I'm on Pinterest. All right. I know you can call me gay all you want, but I'm on Pinterest, and I find all my silly recipes.
I don't use that term.
Gay?
Not anymore.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe 15 years ago.
All right. Well, I'm just saying.
2 years ago.
But also, I am inspired by Jürgen the Baker on Netflix.
Oh, is that a show? I thought you were going to say Jürgen Klinsmann.
Jürgen Klopp.
No, the Great British Bake Off, hot show on Netflix.
Yeah.
Jürgen is a German physicist that does everything by the book to the T. He's like he's making a Mercedes-Benz, but in the oven. And he's awesome, and he's got big, bushy eyebrows. I get size for Jürgen.
I think I know who you're talking about. I do enjoy those shows, all those baking shows on Netflix. They are good time killers.
I'm about size for that new baking show with the three levels. Have you seen that? And like the first person gets all the good meat, and then they drop their leftovers to the second row.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I will look into it this weekend.
I just know the British baking show is hot. I have no idea what chutney is, but Jürgen looks like he makes a good chutney.
All right.
It's called Next Level Chef with Gordon Ramsay.
Well, I do love Gordon Ramsay.
All right. You have me intrigued.
This has me thinking about Brown Friday.
And what your tummy's going to be feeling
when
like.
When was the last time you were that excited for a segment?
It's been a while. You know what the best part is? I found it on a Monday, a victory Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go and I had to sit on it. I had to clench my cheeks together and hold it in until Tuesday.
First of all, you found it. You found it on the prep service website.
I still found it.
Through my subscription.
I still found it. And I printed it out before you. So therefore, I found it.
It's a brilliant topic. When I heard it,
well, here's why it's great. Okay. Obviously, duty.
Well, duty humor is supreme.
But it's combining topics. It's combining a duty with current events.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very relatable.
Yeah, so it was perfectly teed up for a Thanksgiving week topic.
Right, and by the way, I think it's because the term Brown Friday is a funny term.
All I could think about when I was listening to that segment is at my aunt's house where we go for Thanksgiving. The bathroom is right next to all the foot traffic.
I said that on air.
She only has one bathroom?
On the main level. And so
the thing is that people aren't allowed to go into the basement or up into the rooms to use.
Those are off limits?
Yeah, they're off limits because that means you have to clean another level. You know what I mean?
Right, because people don't want to walk in.
You don't want some uncle-in-law going into your bathroom and seeing all your dirty clothes and hamper and how disorganized you are.
How much will you give me? My in-laws' kitchen bathroom on the main floor is literally in the kitchen. I've never seen anything like it.
That's a European type home right
okay,
there.
It's the narrowest kitchen, right? Uh-huh. Back from like whenever they built the house. It hasn't been, you know. So it's very narrow. And literally the bathroom is right next to the oven. Okay.
Hey, that could be dangerous.
That's a stink bomb.
And they're having a bunch of people over. You dare me to take a big duty right after dinner, right before dinner, whenever we gather.
Right before the Cowboys kick off.
and ruin the festivity.
Just smell permeating through the kitchen.
Yeah.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Is my friend Jack. Mm-hmm. His wife is from Costa Rica.
Right.
All right. And her family still lives down there, and they have a type of setup as well, where the bathroom is right next to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he's down there visiting for like the week, and he's like working remotely.
Do they only have one bathroom?
Yeah. Probably. They only had like one bathroom. Mm-hmm. And he said he would drink his Costa Rican coffee, which is probably delicious.
Runs
right through his body. And he's sprinting in the bathroom. And his mother-in-law is right next to that bathroom, because that's where the stove is, cooking him huevos rancheros while he's farting his brains out with his morning dew. He's got his morning deuce going on, and his mother-in-law is right next door listening to it all.
Oh my God.
while she's putting the pico de gallo on his eggs.
That is funny, man. There's numerous bad setups out there.
I want you to do the same.
I could do it. I could be talked into it.
Is there a candle in there? I'll light a candle.
I believe so. Yeah.
By the way, there needs to be, if you're hosting Thanksgiving and you have the main bathroom set up for everyone, you need to put a candle in there. You need to put a lighter in there in mm-hmm. case someone needs to light the candle. And I don't understand how EB must be an alien, but there has to be a plunger as well.
What about EB saying that you're white trash if you have a plunger in the bathroom? That comment kind of ricked me a little bit.
Well, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed?
Toilets clog all the time.
By the way, you keep your plunger underneath the vanity in the sink.
Yeah, as long as it's hidden, it's not white.
Yeah, you don't keep it behind the toilet.
Like I don't have mine in the sink or in the cabinet.
No, but do you? Tuck it away in the corner with blocked.
I tuck it away behind the commode, like next to the shower curtain. The like,
I, yeah, okay, that's fine. Like, right, but you can't see it. But it's not like a wooden handle rubber thing plunger. It's sitting
in a container.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's hiding it.
Yeah, that's what you do.
I asked EB after that segment. I said, "What's with your plunger situation?" And he said that he has like one of those old school 1970s hardware store plungers.
I know,
it's like the red. The red plug with the wooden handle. Yeah, and that's what he has in his house. He's not updated on current plungers and how they look.
That's what my parents have.
Yeah,
the crazy thing is those old things still work.
Of course they do. They're great. But my parents didn't realize that you put it underneath the sink, so that way you don't have to clench your cheeks together and walk downstairs or scream for somebody to get it for you.
I don't know about putting it under the sink, because I got a bunch of other stuff in there. You know, towels, toilet paper, my, clippers and stuff like that. I don't want duty touching all that stuff. That would be a disaster. I like to isolate my plunger behind the bowl.
Worst part is when it spills while you're trying to put it away. It's like still dripping.
What? Oh, dude.
Hold on. What do you mean it spills?
So you do the plunging, up and down.
You don't tap it off a little bit?
No, you tap it off a little bit, but, you know. It's like when you're peeing, you got to really shake to get rid of all of it.
Do you know what you're supposed to do?
What?
After it's done, you immediately turn on the hottest water, the hottest bath water known to man. Then you run it underneath the hottest bath water.
And then you have that's poop a nice on trick. Your bath?
What? What do you mean? It goes down your drain.
It goes down your drain. They're all pipes.
Yeah.
That sounds hurting. So you turn on the bath water and rinse.
Well, you're so
there.
Above that. I mean, I pee in the shower every single day. I don't care about that.
I mean, what are you going to do? Take the dripping plunger out into your living room?
No, you just drip it you put it under the seat, under the sink.
You put the duty water from the plunger under your sink?
Yeah. But I mean, most of it's dripped off by then. But
in a container? No. I'm not worried about the water. I'm worried about the duty, the fecal matter on the plunger touching everything else.
All your duty.
That went down when you flush. You flush and then you lay.
I don't think he's ever used a plunger.
Yes, I have. I've used it. I used one like last weekend.
Okay, I need a visual here. Okay. All right, you break up.
I'm breaking up the toilet paper.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And I flush.
Okay.
And then it goes down.
You know how
it doesn't just go down like that.
It doesn't go down. You just
you're sucking the duty up.
If you picked up dog poop with your hand,
yeah,
would there be dog poop remnants on your hand?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think's on the plunger?
Right. Hold on. And then once it flushes and goes down, the new water comes in, the clean water. You dunk it in the clean water, and that's your rinsing it.
And then you put it right back in your cabinet.
And you put it back under the sink.
Wouldn't you say my way is much more efficient and economical?
My way is the best, but...
What's your way?
Yeah, what's your way?
I just take it out, I tap it, and then I just put it back in the container underneath behind the bowl. I never go back there.
There's still remnants on his way.
I still think you
should. Yeah, but it's not in the cabinet.
Yeah.
It's touching something that will never touch it.
Yours is the worst. Mine's the best.
I just don't think mine's cleaner than Drab's way.
No, you're taking duty and putting it right next to your Dove soap.
I'm letting it soak on the new... Once you flush, that new water is fresh and clean.
Because cold water kills all kinds of germs.
Yeah, I know. You're having a poopy plunger rub elbows with your Barbasol that you're going to shave with.
That's a nightmare situation. What he's got going on is a nightmare situation. And I've seen his like pictures of his bedroom, and it's a rat's nest. So I'm not taking any plunging advice from you.
Your plunger touches duty.
I don't think you really understand.
Think he does either.
Right.
No, I know exactly what you're talking. Most of the time when I clog my toilet, it's not because of too much poo. It's because of too much toilet paper, right? And so it's filled with paper.
I don't know. You think everyone's tired of this conversation?
Probably.
All right. Well, it's been about an hour, and we got a lot of work to do.
We
had fun. I'm glad we did this episode today. We did tease today on the Junkies that JP Flame will be joining a future episode of Bit Season to promote his book. That's cool with us. This is a show about the Junkies, and we invite any of the Junkies on at all times. But I told JP, we're going to put you in the hot seat. This isn't just going to be a fluff
piece.
Yeah, where we're going to ask him, we're just going to Joan on him, let him Joan on us. Not necessarily about the book, but everything that we've talked about on the show that we get into.
You think he'll crush any of the other Junkies harder than he does on air? Like, will we get any behind the scenes stories of Cakes?
We might. We have to pull it out of him.
You know, that's the last thing I want is more behind the scenes stuff.
All right. Well, any promotion is good promotion, as JP likes to say.
That's a lot. I don't want it. Still Barking's a whole behind the scenes thing about the Junks growing up. I don't want any more stories.
I don't want any more old school Junkie stories. Anything about that can be in the book. If he wants to talk crap about one of the Junkies, something new that we don't know about, I'm all for that.
I would love that.
All right.
I would love a revelation.
All right, guys. Well, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us this week. We love doing this show.
Oh, everyone, make sure you listen to Alice's Restaurant today or tomorrow.
And Valdez has that in his notes for some reason, and he tried selling that to me this morning.
I'm just saying.
I had no idea what it was.
Because you're not a radio guy.
And then he asked me to ask John Feinstein about it because he's a hippie, and John Feinstein had no idea what it was. It was a big flop. Arlo's restaurant or whatever it's called.
Alice's restaurant, you're just doing a bit.
By Arlo Guthrie. Adam's looking at me like I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it's a radio thing. If you're a radio...
He says it's better than Adam Sandler's Thanksgiving.
Which is crazy because that Thanksgiving song is so good. I play it every year. So much better than the Hanukkah song. People got sized, thought the Hanukkah song was silly. No.
Isn't there two Hanukkah songs? Like there's a Hanukkah song.
He did like a remix.
Yeah, it's terrible. He added more Jews to the list.
Yeah. All right, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. We will see you next Thursday on The Junkies or Monday morning. Next Thursday on Bit Season or Monday morning on The Junkies. Have a great weekend, everybody.